Welcome to Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Hey, let's talk some sports. It's Friday, baby. Give us a call. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. The website is rayandtaytoday.com. We got a great show. Ray, right off the bat, Derek Jeter. New York sports is back. Eli Manning, Derek Jeter, Larry Donnell. What's going on, Ray?
You know what? It couldn't have been scripted any better. Derek Jeter, who is not a home run hitter, hits a home run for his 3,000th hit. You called me last night thinking he would do it again, hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth when David Robinson blew the save and gave him the chance to bat in the ninth because they were up 5-2 going to the bottom of the ninth. But first pitch he sees, that patented inside-out swing, gets himself a single, and the rest is history. Derek Jeter. It's amazing. The guy's amazing. What a storybook way to end his career. He doesn't go to the playoffs this year, but you know what?
He's not playing tonight. He's not in tonight's lineup. And he'll never play shortstop again. He said that. He'll probably be DH. Maybe he'll pinch hit later on tonight, but he's not in tonight's starting lineup. And, you know, just an emotional roller coaster. The fans kept cheering for him. He tipped his hat. You saw last night the girlfriend, the sister, the mother, the father, the nephew was so cute. He tipped his hat. It's just a great family story. I know personally he's affected my family. My niece was in Jeter's Leaders, which he has, and his sister helps run it in New York and in Michigan, and it's a great program for young kids, and they take them all over the United States to prepare for colleges from, you know, very young age. He's an amazing guy. And that's all I can say. Love the commercials. And you know what? No, he's not the best Yankee. No, he's not the best shortstop. No, he's not the best hitter, not the best fielder. Derek Jeter is just clutch. And I think he, you know, put the tape over the mouths of some of the talking heads, whether it's Keith Overman or other people who kind of want to try to tarnish him on his way out. Well, you know, there's no reason to try to poo-poo him. No one ever said he was the best player ever. But what he is Mr. Yankee, a captain, and one of the most clutch players ever. Great stats, Ray. We talked about it off air. He'll wind up batting around 310. Pete Rose was 311. Him and Pete Rose's stats at the same time were comparable. Rose went on to play 45 to 45, so has much more, many more hits. But in terms of winning, he's ranked fourth. It's Rose, Hank Aaron, Carl Yastrzemski, and Derek Jeter. And that's what Derek Jeter's legacy is, winning. Just win, baby.
His winning percentage is better, I think, than anybody else in baseball, the number of games over 500. So he played with some great teams. And what's sad for me is that not only is Jeter gone, but that whole era is gone. You know, Bernie Williams was the first one to retire. And then Pettit, Posada, Mariano, and Jeter. That's our guy right up the middle. That's our team that won four championships together. And then Jeter won a fifth in 09 with Pettit, Posada, and Mariano. But, yeah, these guys are unbelievable. And I'm not sure that the Yankees will have a run like this. I actually predict that the Yankees in the next 10 years are probably going to look like the Yankees of the 80s.
That we grew up with,
right?
Not
do much. Yeah, not too much.
You know what's so funny? Let me say this, because people don't know this, right? So, okay, we're born, we're 70s babies, you know, you could say 80s, but, you know, 1980, we're turning 10 or whatever. We saw Munson, Jackson, and them win. But then we had so many bad years, the years of Bobby Mercer, who wore number two. And remember, the last guy to wear number two, I think, was Mike Gallego. But two guys that wore number two before Jeter. But we saw Oscar Gamble, Lou Piniella, Bobby Mercer. We went through some rough times where the Yankees were horrible, bad pitching, you know, after Reggie hit all those great home runs and got those series. Then, you know, it was Buck Showalter that sort of brought it in 95 and 96, and then they started doing it. And Jeter was a part of that. And so that was, you know, in our young adulthood, in our early 20s. So we've had layered experiences where really young, they won. Most of our, you know, growing up years, 10 to 18 or, you know, 20, no winning. And then, you know, young 20s, the Yankees were back and they've been dominant for a long time. So, hey, you know what? Ray and Tay, we tip our caps. Not going to the playoffs. Baltimore is going to the playoffs. You know, we might as well just talk about baseball. We got to talk about last night's game, though, too. And it was a great night for New York sports fans, right? Eli Manning and the Giants are 2-2, turned around their season, started off 0-2 in just 4 or 5 days from Sunday to Thursday, 45-14 over the Redskins. And let's stop this. RG3 won't ever see the field talk again. Kirk Cousins, you know, he's a good quarterback. But is he the leader of your franchise? That's yet to be determined. But, you know, he had a horrible third quarter, Ray. 3 interceptions, bad game. What did you think about just New York sports last night with the Yankee win, the Giant win?
So, look, I don't think the Giants are really much better than an 8-8 team. But they turned around their season, like you said, winning in Washington. That's a big deal because they would have gone 1-3. It's a big win, and I think this kid, Larry Donnell.
I think he's a fantasy pickup. Wow.
Oh, he's on most people's rosters already. But if he's not, go get him. I don't know if he'll score you 3 touchdowns again in one game, but he's a big guy, 6'5", 6'6". They look like
they're going to a
lot in the red zone. Grambling, shout out to the black colleges.
Yeah.
So good for him. You know, it looks like Eli in that West Coast offense, you know, the first two games, it's so funny how, like you said, 4 days and everything turns around because everybody thought that Eli couldn't play in that West Coast offense. And now Eli's the man in that West Coast offense.
So wait, I got to ask you a question because I know how you feel about Eli. Fans don't know. I got to ask you because I know where you're kind of headed and you think they're at 8-18, but he just got his, 200th touchdown. He's top 10 in touchdowns in his career. 2 Super Bowls. Yes, he is an interception king. He's also Manning. Eli Manning, is he a Hall of Famer, Ray?
You know what?
He's going
to
make
it. He'll make it. He'll make it because it's hard to keep a quarterback who was a
two-time Super Bowl
MVP and 2-0 in the Super Bowl, it's hard to
and
keep
he beat,
him
and
out.
And who he beat? He beat Brady, and he beat one of the best teams ever in the Patriots when they were 16-0.
Yeah, well, 18-0 when they met them. Yeah,
18-0. Yeah, 18-0.
So
yeah.
Yes, I think he will make the Hall of Fame, and it's basically because of two seasons, right? It's 2007, 2011.
Amazing,
but
right?
There are no quarterbacks who have won 2 Super Bowls who are not in the Hall of Fame. So, yes, he'll make the Hall of Fame, but
what about Plunkett? How many does Plunkett just has the one? 1980, right?
Plunkett has – no, he probably has two, right? He was a quarterback in 83 when they won again.
That's right. And he doesn't – and he's not in the Hall.
Jim Plunkett
is another guy.
Sure. That's a good call. Yeah, no – that sounds right. Yeah, you called that one. But Eli's had a consistent career. Plunkett's career was up and down, and then he was a starter, and then he was, you know, kind of fizzled at the end of his career. But Eli Manning's been a starter since, you know, it's funny. Kurt Warner was supposed to be there in the beginning of Eli's career to warm the stage for him. But Eli went in and took over that job, and from 2005 has really been the man. So, yeah, Eli's a Hall of Famer. As much as I don't love him and as much as I don't want to build my franchise around him, he's done it on the field. He's done it on the field. I can't take anything away from him.
Well, one good note about the Giants before we wrap that situation up. Number one, I like not just Rashard Jennings, but I like the 1-2 punch of Andre Williams. He got a touchdown. And Odell Beckham Jr. will be coming back in a week or two. So the receiving core is only going to get better now with potentially this tight end. You got to think positive about the Giants. And guess what? Eli's not getting hit. They're getting rid of the ball very quickly. Victor Cruz is back, fantasy football fans. He got me like 21 points last night. You know, I think the Giants are on a positive swing. And, you know, one thing about the NFL season, the coaches break it down in quarters, right? So you like to go 4-0 in the first quarter, 3-1, at worst 2-2. Hey, they're 2-2. Like you said, division win on the road. You know, the Giants have got to be looking pretty positive about that. So let's get really to not just Jeter and the Yankees, but there's a lot going on in baseball, right? We tip our cap to the Pittsburgh Pirates, Kansas City Royals. They're making the playoffs. Can the Mariners catch the Oakland A's for that last wild card spot? Looks like the Pirates are still alive for the division, a game behind St. Louis. So we're going into the weekend. It ends Sunday. Basically, Ray, it's looking like San Francisco at Pittsburgh in a national wild card and possibly Oakland at Kansas City and American League wild card. What are you thinking? How do you think it's all going to play out?
Yeah. What do you think about the – do you think there'll be any surprises in baseball? Let's put it that way.
Well,
do you
think it's set?
I mean
– I think it is. I think it'll be San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and then probably Oakland and KC. Obviously, you know, the wild cards will play the number one seeds, which will be Pittsburgh or San Francisco going to Washington. So then when you know we got a great matchup with Dodgers St. Louis, which we could talk about a lot. Monday we'll preview the playoffs. The playoffs start Tuesday. And then in American League, the Oakland KC winner will go to the Los Angeles Angels. So that's going to be very exciting either way, either division rivals or KC going to the Angels. And then you'll have Detroit against Baltimore. So some really good matchups. I'm actually I'm really excited and hyped up for these playoffs.
It's amazing. You know, it's amazing, and you look at these matchups, and there's some good matchups, like you said. But give some shout out to some of these teams, right? Baltimore, 95 wins.
Yeah.
The Angels, 98 wins. Washington, 94 wins. I mean, there's three teams right there that are going to be between 95 and 100 wins. I mean, those are three outstanding teams.
That's
and
good baseball.
I still think it's funny because Baltimore, even with 95 wins, man, I still look at the AL and I look at that Detroit team and I just think, watch out for Detroit.
Well, one thing I'll say about the Orioles, though, and you saw it last night as a Yankee fan, they can score runs at a ridiculous rate. I mean, Markakis knocks it out the park. Adam Jones, I mean, they had four hits, right? You know, I mean, it's not like Corona didn't pitch good. They had four hits and three of them were home runs for a minute.
You know what?
There,
they're
so.
Like the Milwaukee Brewers of the early 80s. Remember
Harvey
Wallbangers?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, these guys, they led the league. I think it's, what, their third year of leading the league in home runs? They just hit the – now, granted, they have a nice home run hitting part. You know, Rante have been to Camden Yards together. But this team just jacks it out. The only fear, though, is that in the playoffs, you're basically facing number one, number two, and number three starters, and home runs are harder to come by. So
they
if
are.
You
now,
rely
Baltimore
on the
will,
long ball.
Right, but Baltimore will
tough.
Be at home against Detroit. Do you think that gives them an edge?
It does. It certainly gives them an edge. They have as opposed to Detroit, which is not a hitter's ballpark. It's a big ballpark, and especially if you want to hit home runs, you're not going to hit it out of Tiger Stadium, the new Comerica, as quickly as you will Camden Yards. So
would it be ironic for you if Nelson Cruz is the one that gets them out of the first round?
No, that makes killing. But he
wouldn't
paid his
something?
Dues, you know.
Yeah.
The NFL, MLB, you know, and the Players Union have negotiated, and he sat his 50 games last year.
Hey, is Chris Davis coming back for Orioles? Because they would need him. I know they said
well,
there's a shot.
18 games, right? He was suspended, 25 games, I'm sorry.
Right, so he's going to miss the first round.
He'd be back in the second round. He would miss seven games.
He'd come back maybe at the end of the second round.
Yeah, so it's funny.
They won't have him for Detroit.
You want to go seven games in the first round with the fear of losing, but you get your boy Chris Davis back earlier because you need him against Detroit. For sure.
You know, I'm rooting for the Pirates in the National League. I got to be honest with you. I really like to see, you know, it'd be funny, right? Take us back to 79, Pirates Orioles. Wouldn't that be something? I know in the Beltway, everybody wants to see the Nationals Orioles. That would be awesome. D.C. Baltimore. And they actually have a great shot, right? Two of the best records.
Yeah, so, look, and you could have an all L.A. You could have Dodgers and Angels.
Yeah. Or Oakland and the Giants. We'd have to look this up. Yeah, we'd have to look this up. I don't know. That's three local matches potentially in one playoff series. I don't know if it's ever been like that. I mean, obviously there's more teams now, so it probably never has been like that. But that's pretty amazing. You know, that you could have regional World Series rivals. Which could throw off the rest of the nation watching, but it's a lot of fun for people in those areas and baseball fans. You know what I mean? We got to mention the Diamondbacks, Ray. They got rid of Kirk Gibson today.
Yeah, Gibby is gone. Play out the season. Gibby's gone.
I, for one, thought
that Arizona would be better than 63-96. So
right.
I don't know if I want to fire Kirk Gibson.
Yeah,
they did have some injuries, but still, are they the worst team in baseball? I mean, by record, they're the worst team in baseball. So when their manager gets fired, you can't be too surprised when you were the worst team in baseball.
Remember in offseason, they got Trumbull. I don't think he really settled in Arizona, didn't play so great. Goldschmidt got hurt, the pitching. I don't think they had enough starting pitching. And to be honest with you, I just think there's not enough. I tell you, they shouldn't have got rid of Upton. Upton, I think once they got rid of Upton, they went in a different direction, and it hasn't worked out. And so, you know, I think in the offseason, they're going to have to add a couple of bats, definitely some starting pitching. We'll see what happens. You know, I hope the D-backs turn around. They should go back to the booth. Get some good luck again. Hire my man, Bob Brenly. Go back to the booth, right to the show. So,
Bob do it? You think he would do it? Go back?
Oh, no. I think Bob's going to retire in a couple of years. He's in the booth for 2-3 more years, and then, you know, might ride off into the sunset. Who knows? Maybe they can convince him to come manage 2-3 years and groom, somebody in the organization along. Who knows? It'll definitely be interesting. So, Monday we'll preview the baseball. Let's talk some college football. We had a doozy last night, two ranked teams. Obviously, Oklahoma State, they won, 45-35 over Texas Tech. But UCLA at Arizona State. Now, Arizona State, Ray, they don't have the quarterback, Taylor Kelly. And there was a question if Huntley was going to play. He played. UCLA got busy. Did you see that?
I got to be honest. I wasn't watching the game. I had a lot of stuff going on. We had football. We had Jeter. So I didn't watch it live. But I did read about it. And, wow, UCLA put the beat down on them. I mean,
bad.
Did you catch the game?
No, I caught
it. Were you able to catch some of the game?
Yeah, I caught a piece of it. It was on CBS Sports Network. Tim Brando was doing it pretty good. For a minute, look, it was 17-6, Arizona State. Then it, all of a sudden, you know, they instead of like going into the half leading, then they wind up 17-13, and then from there they just got steamrolled. 62-27.
Brett Huntley, did you see the game that he put up? I mean, the guy was 18 for 23, 355, and four touchdowns.
No, he basically they called it a blackout, and he blacked it out for Arizona State fans. It was a blackout by Hundley. And there goes my Heisman pick, and I think UCLA is off and running, and they wake up, and now from number 11, they will be in the top 10 next week on the road in the Pac-12. They beat number 15. That's a good win. Oklahoma State's number 24. They beat Texas Tech by 10. And, you know, very high scoring, not so impressive. Now, moving forward to the games this weekend, not so many great matchups. Want to ask you what you thought about the SEC matchup. Obviously, you got Tennessee at Georgia. You know, Georgia's probably going to handle them. But you got South Carolina, Missouri, and Arkansas, Texas A&M. What do you think about those two matchups? Those potentially could be two pretty good games in the SEC, even though, you know, they're playing teams that aren't ranked. But it should be interesting.
Look, A&M still needs to prove that they're legit. So
right.
They are.
They're playing
top
in Jerry's World, right?
Team.
Or in Arlington somewhere. That, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing at AT&T Stadium. Yep.
Yeah.
They are which is kind of funny because Jerry went to Arkansas, right? But
yeah.
You know, so he loves to have the Razorbacks play in his stadium.
That's funny. Yeah.
So, Texas A&M, they're really the dark horse to me of the top 10 teams because you never thought that this year they'd be number 6 in the country, right? You thought maybe top 15, top 20, but not competing for one of those last four spots, maybe competing for an SEC championship. So they've got some players, though, you know, starting with Hill, their quarterback. They need to prove that they're a legit team, and why not on a neutral field?
And Arkansas's not bad. Got to watch out for them.
Arkansas's not bad. 3-1. I mean, they do have one loss in the conference. But big game for Texas A&M if they want to prove on the national scene that they're legit. If they win this, they go to 5-0, 2-0 in the SEC. It gets them closer to where they want to be. So that's a big game for them. I'm interested to see how they handle it.
I think Texas A&M will wind up doing it. I'll take them in a pretty good 31-26, maybe 31-24, good game. But I think they'll be able to pull away a little bit there, you know.
Yeah, I think they'll have a tight first half and pull away. I think so too, but I think they'll put up some points. I think they'll go win that game 30-20.
Now that other matchup in SEC, I think to me is going to be kind of interesting. Can Missouri go to South Carolina, where South Carolina had that big win beating Georgia? Can Mizzou go in now to South Carolina and upset them? That's a question. Missouri had the bad loss to Indiana. I don't think so. I think South Carolina flexes their muscle, and Dylan Thompson keeps it going. I'll take South Carolina over Mizzou, maybe 31-20. I think their defense steps up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think if this game were in Columbia, Missouri, I think it would be a little bit different.
Yeah.
But because it's in Columbia, I think South Carolina wins. South Carolina had a scare a couple weeks ago. They lost the game and had a scare the next game. I think they're starting to right the ship. Next year, though, watch out for this kid, Matty Mauk, the quarterback of the Missouri Tigers. Remember, he came in as a freshman last year and due to injury, played 4 or 5 games, played pretty well. The kid has 14 touchdowns already. And
yeah,
he's completing 62% of his passes. You know, he's got stats that are comparable to Thompson's. So I'm just saying, place that in the back of your mind right now. Heisman Trophy winner next year. I'm just saying. But, yeah, I think ultimately Mizzou doesn't have enough. They run out of steam. And I think South Carolina, and the old ball coach, they beat him.
But
I think it's a close game, 24-20.
Okay, two questions. Two big schools on the road in their conference, could they potentially get upset? Florida State, number 1 at NC State, and then number 16 Stanford at Washington. What do you think about those two? Are there any upset alerts, or do you think both of them should handle the conference wins on the road?
I think Florida State handles business no problem. They win by 20, so not a problem there.
Yeah. I agree.
In terms of Stanford at Washington,
gotta be careful.
A road team, you gotta be careful. Washington's undefeated. They have a nice little home field. But I still got to go with my guy, friend to the show. I can't imagine Stanford team going 2-2 and 0-2 in the Pac-12. So
David Shaw, he'll get him going.
I think that David Shaw will get him going. And I think that our boy Hogan to Montgomery will pick up a little bit. Montgomery, who may be one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in the country, has been a little disappointing, frankly, for the hype.
Yeah, but so is Hogan. Hogan's got to have a big game. He needs to step up. He needs to.
The truth of the matter is he hasn't been throwing the ball as much as we would have expected. They're trying to run and establish the run. But this kid Hogan, I think they need to give him a little bit more leeway and have him have him win him a couple games. So I think that this game being on the road at Husky Stadium in Seattle might be a good thing, right? Stanford on the road needs to prove, because to me they're a top 10 team, and they're a team that should be in contention to win the Pac-12. So I think Stanford goes out and wins this game.
Yeah, they need to, but it looks like it's Oregon's to lose, although, you never know, because UCLA is still going to be, in the mix and have something to say about it. Hey, that Pac-12 is pretty tough. We definitely could say that. That Pac-12 is pretty tough. Obviously, I'm sure Notre Dame will take care of Syracuse. No big deal there. So that's the college football. So let's rock out to some beats before we get to NFL. We got injuries. We got fantasy. We got everything for you. So let's rock it out. Ray and Tay, we'll be right back. NFL football week 4.
Love those smooth jazz beats. Michael Powers, friend to the show, gave us some beats to drop.
Definitely. Shout out to Michael Powers down with our boy from Seattle, Sir Mix-a-Lot. So why don't you tell us the bye weeks for the NFL, and we can get into some of these, who's playing, injuries and stuff. Break down the bye weeks, man.
So get your fantasy pen and paper ready.
Mm-hmm.
So bye weeks, a lot of them, six teams. Remember, it's either six or four or six teams on bye most weeks. So this is a big week for bye.
I think 2 weeks they have two teams, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but this week is
You got to get 32 in. I don't know how they do it. But anyway, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Denver, St. Louis, Arizona, and Seattle. So if you've got A.J. Green, or if you've got any of the Denver offense, obviously, if you've got Larry Fitzgerald, if you've got the Seattle defense, if you've got Marshawn Lynch.
Percy Harvin.
Sit him. Percy Harvin. Sit him. Don't forget. Sit him. Six teams on by.
Now, I haven't heard, first of all, Calvin Johnson is going to play. He came back to practice Friday, so did Delanie Walker. Eric Decker looks like he's going to play. Jake Locker, Tennessee, I don't think he's going to play. So, now obviously we're starting the new era. Bortles goes to San Diego for the Jaguars. Teddy Bridgewater against the Falcons from Minnesota. Should be kind of interesting what these young guys start to do. Aaron Foster, I'm not sure yet, and Vernon Davis. I missed what they said about those two guys. So check, obviously.
Davis is still a game-time decision.
Oof.
So, and Foster's officially questionable, but he's been questionable so many times. I mean, I have him in a couple of fantasy leagues, but he's an enigma. When he's healthy, man, I think he's right up there with Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, and Shady McCoy. It's just for him, it's always a matter of staying on the field.
Definitely. And obviously we all know, we'll talk NBA soon. It's just started, training camps, some of them are opening up today. Phil Jackson press conference, think the Knicks have a shot to be a playoff team. Cavs, everybody, you know, we'll get into that for you NBA fans. So, you know, calm down. I saw a couple of emails, you know, we'll give you NBA. There's a lot going on in sports now. They haven't even started training camp. So we'll get there for you folks, and we'll have our NBA preview. Don't you worry about Ray and Tay with the NBA. Let's start it off, man. The Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears. I'm not saying it's a must win for the Packers, but I'm saying, I got to be honest, I'm not saying that the Bears will have a letdown, but this is the type of game where they pound Eddie Lacy and he gets it going again, where Aaron Rodgers can light up a secondary. No Peanut Tillman, yeah, Fuller played good, but that was against the Jets with Geno Smith and no real wide receivers and a banged up Decker. The Bears are playing against Nelson and Cobb and Boykins, and you know, they don't really have much at tight end. Richard Rodgers, I think Packers need to find a tight end. So I'm going to say that the Packers go on the road, even though I like the Bears to, you know, really have a good season. For some strange reason, I just think Rodgers is going to right the ship. And the Packers win a close one, so close, like about 28-27 Green Bay at Chicago.
So I may go down saying every week the same thing, that Aaron Rodgers is really fabulous quarter, a really fabulous quarterback, and the Packers are a legitimate playoff team. Like you said, it's not a must win, but it's close. It's a very nice to win if you want to go to the playoffs, because if they lose this game, they go 1-3, the Bears go 3-1, and if the Lions beat the Jets, they'll be 3-1. So Packers are going to be in trouble. Not impossible, because they play within the division, and you know Minnesota's terrible in that division, but very difficult uphill battle. So in week four, you don't expect to have a must win. So we can't call it a must win, but they better win this game. I think Eddie Lacy is key. Like you said, I think they have to establish him. He's been a little disappointing so far. He's what, right around 3 yards, 3.5 yards a carry. So he's not really, you know, moving the chains like they'd like. You know Rodgers is Rodgers. And like you said, I think that ultimately the Bears, the most impressive win was that win at San Francisco, what they were able to do in the second quarter with Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall even being, you know, both of them being hurt. But I just have a feeling that the Packers, just like they did in week two, so it's like lose one, win one, that they put it together. Aaron Rodgers goes for 350. Eddie Lacy goes for 120 yards. And I think the Packers actually take it out on the Bears and win 30-21.
Yeah, that's definitely my fantasy stud. I would say Lacy, like 120 and a touchdown. And I think we're on the same page with that one. So then next, Ray, this is your goggles. Get your goggles. The Baltimore Ravens hosting the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Ravens, they've actually had put together a couple of good games, especially with all the, controversy and all that's been going on. The Panthers, we all know what happened to them. You know, Sunday night they come in 2-0 and then get smacked up by the Steelers. This is an interesting game. I actually think the Panthers' defense can travel. And for me, D'Angelo Williams coming back, no Stewart, you know, it's a trade-off, but Williams, he's got more speed, and I think that's what they need. They need the speed, and I think Steve Smith will be up for them, but I don't know if the Ravens are like, oh, wow, we want to beat the Panthers the way Steve Smith does. But I'll tell you this, they're going to miss Pitta, even though Owen Daniels is a savvy veteran. I got a funny feeling the Panthers turn it around, and I think they go to Baltimore and steal one, 20-17. They frustrate Flacco, get to the Ravens, and lock down Torrey. And, you know, Steve Smith has a good game. But I'll say D'Angelo Williams, a touchdown and 80 yards. Cam Newton, a pretty good game. Panthers win 20-17.
See, I think the Panthers can win a game, possibly 20-17, but not more than that. I just think the Panthers are so inept on offense, and we keep beating a dead horse, and I just don't think that they have anybody that scares you. And maybe D'Angelo Williams coming back helps, but ultimately they don't really have playmakers. This kid, Kelvin Benjamin, will be nice, and he's a solid player, and I'm looking forward to seeing him for many years in that Carolina offense. I just think that Flacco, you could argue Baltimore has a similar problem, because when Steve Smith is your number one receiver, he's past his prime. But he's still better than Torrey Smith right now. So
Can I tell you? You talk about fantasy. I'm ready to drop Torrey Smith. He's so inconsistent, and he's just disappeared this season.
No, you're right. You're right. And Justin Forsett might get his spot taken by Taliaferro. So Baltimore has issues. But I think Baltimore squeaks out a win because they're at home. Neither team can score very well. So I think Baltimore wins a very close one, 21-20.
Okay. Now we
no fantasy studs in this game.
No fantasy
don't
studs.
Play,
yeah.
Don't this... play anybody in fantasy in this game.
I wouldn't recommend it. Now, this one is going to be interesting to me, because I think the Detroit Lions at the New York Jets, the Jets are going on a three-game battle against the NFC North. You know, almost upset the Packers, lose to the Bears. They couldn't get into the red zone. Well, you know, they're at home again. And this time it's not Monday night. I got a funny feeling that the Jets are going to find a way to right the ship. Even though Detroit Lions have a better defense, I just don't like the Lions on the road. And I think the Jets can stop Bush and Bell. And I think Calvin Johnson not being 100% kind of helps the Jets out this week. This is they get a break. And I do think the blitzes and them confusing Stafford, I think they might get a couple of gift interceptions. I think the Jets find a way to put up a little bit more points than they did against the Bears. And I think the Jets actually win a game 24-23 over the Lions in MetLife. The Jets and Rex Ryan pull it off. And Chris Ivory. Eric Decker played good, 6 receptions, 80 yards. But Chris Ivory, a couple of passes, 80 yards, touchdown, and a couple of receptions. Chris Ivory's the fantasy guy. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Well, you know what I thought about the Lions? I thought they'd be a very solid team, 9-7, 10-6, losing Tulloch and Levy, linebackers was a big deal.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson playing at 70-80% is still better than most of the wide receivers in this league.
Yeah.
D. Milner, still with his leg injuries, I think it's a quad and an ankle, is going to be a problem for the Jets. And Golden Tate, I think, gives Detroit that second receiver, you know, along with Calvin Johnson. So I think that Matt Stafford, being in his, sixth year, I think he's going to be able to handle Rex's confusion. He might throw an interception, but I still think he'll throw 2-3 touchdowns. Again, I think the Jets have trouble scoring. And I think without Eric Decker, and Chris Johnson has been a disappointment, frankly. So Chris Ivory's been looking good, and that run, that ground and pound is good. But if Detroit can get him off the field for 3 or 4 possessions, and that ground and pound doesn't give them 35 minutes, 37 minutes time of possession, I think the Lions win this game. I think they go into MetLife Stadium, and I think they win this game. I think ultimately they're more potent, and I think they can put up 28 on the Jets. I don't know if the Jets could put up 28. So I like the Lions, 28, Jets, 20.
Okay. Now, do we have a caller here, or we got somebody listening? But,
we got somebody listening to the show, it looks like.
Yeah. So, you know, okay, I see where you're going with Detroit. That'd be a good win for them. I think the Jets might be able to, you know, we'll see. Now, this is a great game right here. You got the undefeated 3-0 Eagles at the 1-2 San Francisco 49ers. Now, friend to the show, Oren, he's a big Niners fan. This is a must-win for the Niners. I think to, you know, lose that game in the division to the Cards, to start off 1-3 and to lose at home twice, that would be rough, you know, and losing to the Bears and the Eagles. I'm not sure if the Eagles are ready for this, like to go and get a hard-hitting game. I want to pick the Eagles, but something tells me the Niners will get very physical and turn it around, and they'll pull out a close game. For some reason, I'm thinking a lot of these games are going to be low 20s. I think the Niners can win this 26-24. I'm looking for Kaepernick to actually have a big game, running the ball, 80 yards, pass for 230, gives you a couple of touchdowns, and they got to give it to the veteran Gore. I think if Gore is healthy enough, he'll get a bunch of carries and get you a touchdown and 80 yards. So I got the Eagles getting their first loss at San Francisco.
Yeah, I agree with that outcome. I think that the Niners are a better team than 2-0. The Eagles might not be as good as their 3-0 record would lead you to believe. They've been down 10. There's a reason they were down 10 all three games, and they came back. I think that this is going to be a tough, hard-hitting, low-scoring game. I like the Niners 24-20. Hold on, I think we got a caller. He might have something to say about the Niners.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey,
how
Ray
you doing?
Tay, what's going on? It's Oren. Glad you guys are vouching for my Niners.
Well, you're not. I keep saying they're the best team in football, but they're not playing like that.
I tell you, I hope this. I think we need this Philadelphia game to right our ship. Really, pretty much, we got to get on ball. You know,
you
and give it to Frank Gore.
Exactly. Let me ask you this: are you concerned though with not having Navarro Bowman? Do you think you'll have any type of matchup issues with Sproles and McCoy out of the backfield? I think that's the place where they might be able to attack you guys.
We can see the hole in our defense with him. And I think now is where we have to just outscore teams. We have the weapons. We just got to outscore them and just hopefully our defense will hold up. But our running game is not, we don't have a strong running game right now. They need to get Frank Gore 20 so touches so we can get our game going.
Pound him. You're right. Slow down that Eagles offense. Keep them off the field and pound them. And I think what you're trying to tell fantasy people is that Kaepernick finally might start connecting more with Stevie Johnson for some
yes.
offensive touchdowns.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, no, they do have it. They got a lot of Bolden. Crabtree, Johnson, throw the ball, throw the rock, you know?
Yeah. Share with everybody.
So I got to ask you, you're a New Yorker. What'd you think about Jeter last night and ending in that matter? How clutch was that, and what are your thoughts about that?
You know, that just pretty much solidifies his legacy. You know, he is one of the best, if not the best shortstop. Definitely for the Yankees, he's a legend, and he deserves all the praise he's been getting. And it just, you know, it was a great way to go out, you know, to me. And speaking of New York, I mean, Vegeta and them Big Blue, that game last night was crazy.
Woof. Yep.
That had my blood going. I was like, wow, Big Blue is back.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty impressive, I got to say.
Now, do you think that the Giants, based on this, are the Giants for real? This brings them to 500. They're a 2-2 team. Now, does this mean that they go and challenge for the NFC East in the playoffs, or do they stay around 500 and just peter out at 8-8?
I think they challenge the NFC East. Probably, if they can keep – the way they ran their offense yesterday is an indication of he's still learning it. They look in very good shape to cause some problems.
That's a good point.
Very good shape.
And remember that, like I said earlier, they're going to add Odell Beckham Jr., whether it's week 5 or 6, he's going to be a weapon. You know, it will take him some time to get in sync with Eli, but, you know, you throw him in there with this tight end, Donnell, and then Victor and Randall, and then the two-headed running back with Jennings, who Ray doesn't like too much, but he's starting to respect him, and then young Andre Williams from BC, and then the Giants are off and running. Offensive line's looking better. Listen, I can't sack you if you get rid of the ball in 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what helps that's helping Eli tremendously. His accuracy is looking a little better. He's not colorblind like he was last year, throwing everybody outside of his team.
Eli is one of those every other year type of quarterbacks. It's like Brett Saberhagen in the baseball in the late 80s. Like on the, I forget if it was the odd years or the even years, but he'd have a good year, a bad year, a good year, a bad year.
Yeah.
No, Eli is like, seems to be like that right now.
Hey, so, before we let you go, that's a good place to sort of ask you this. Ray and I have talked about it for years, and I just want to see what you think. But is Eli Manning, you know, he just got in the top 10 with his 200th touchdown pass, two Super Bowls, but a lot of bad years. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
I think he really much. I think I consider him a Hall of Famer. I just think his two Super Bowl rings of when he beat the Patriots both times. And think about when he beat the Patriots. One, when they were undefeated through the season.
Right, that's what I meant.
Next time is when they were really strong again. I mean, and pretty much the odds were against the Patriots, and he beat Tom Brady at his best both times.
Good point.
And I think that those two championships are worth a little bit more than the two he has, because those were some hard games, and he really proved it was on him when they won both of them.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think every game except one was on the road. Definitely the first year they came the wild card. They won three on the road as a wild card and then won the Super Bowl. I think they played their first game at home in 11, and then the other two were on the road.
Yep. Yeah.
So to win, what is that, three and two, five road games and one home game. So, you know, those games leading up to the two Super Bowls and beating Brady twice, that's pretty impressive. Now, it doesn't
went
help
to San Francisco.
His cause.
Yeah,
it doesn't help his cause that he's led the league in interceptions and turnovers, total turnovers three times, and he's had some terrible years.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, he's a contradiction, right, to himself. He you know, is the highs are so high, and then the lows are like, Eli. But no, I do think he is a Hall of Famer,
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at Brett Favre. How many interceptions he's thrown?
Oh no! Yeah, he's one of the all-time interception leaders, if not the number one. Yeah, he's got all the touchdowns,
and he has more hardware than Brett Favre. So, I think
he has more hardware than his brother, which is even crazier. You know,
Favre and Manning each only have one ring, so Eli's ahead of both of them. That's a great point. All right, thanks for calling, and we both picked your Niners, so they better step up and win. And I got Frank Gore in fantasy. I got Frank Gore.
I know.
Got to wake up.
You're not the only one wishing he does.
Speaking of the Niners, though, have you seen your boy Stevie Johnson? He is hilarious talking about how he, you know, how people go ahead and put their fantasy teams together, and he's talking about how I'm recruiting like real people for my real person fantasy team. He read his tweets. It's very funny. This dude Stevie Johnson is out there. He's on another planet, but he's very funny.
I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Hopefully everybody gets their fantasy win. All right, have a great weekend. You too.
So O's on the same page with us. I just think this is one of those games where the Niners have to turn it into a bar fight to win it, to be honest with you. They do need to score more, but they also need to pound the ball and run more, and I think they will do both. Now we move to Sunday night, Ray. This one's fascinating. How about them Cowboys? Jerry.
How about them Cowboys? Say it with your heart. Say it because deep down you love the Cowboys.
Listen, the Saints are going to the Cowboys. This is a fascinating game because it's 1-2 at 2-1. The Cowboys, they put your boy Scandrick back in the starting lineup. Your boy Claiborne walked away like a little baby. He came back, apologized. Yada, yada, yada. They're going to need him for the games. Maybe he'll have to stick Brandon Cooks in the slot, which I don't think he can do. I guess what it comes down to, the only way I see the Cowboys winning this game is if they follow the blueprint, and that is the NFL leading rusher to date, and that's DeMarco Murray. He's got to stop fumbling, but he's got to run for like 150, get you a touchdown, and pound the ball. And my only problem is I just think on Sunday Night Football, Drew Brees is just going to be magical. So I think Murray and the Cowboys will play well, but I think at the end of the day, 27-24, the Saints and Who Dat Nation go into Dallas, and they beat the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones will have a rough weekend. Arkansas is going to lose in his building, and he's going to lose in his building.
So the Saints are an interesting team, right? I thought that they would win that NFC South, and they're 1-2. The game, now both of their losses, if you think about it, they could have beaten Atlanta. They went to overtime, and you could argue they should have beaten Atlanta. They probably think that. And then they lost 26-24 to Cleveland. So should have won that game also probably in their mind. And Minnesota, they probably should have blown out. They ended up winning 20-9. And Minnesota team without Adrian Peterson and without Matt Castle, you figure you should do better than 20-9. So this is a team that could be easily 2-1, 3-0, and really can't afford to fall to 1-3. So I think that the New Orleans Saints have too much posse. And the Cowboys have problems in the secondary, and Maurice Claiborne was MIA or AWOL or whatever you want to call it, and he's back, but there's obviously the love affair, and Jerry Jones called him out, and Jerry Jones is right, but I don't know if he actually say that. He said essentially he's not worth the number six pick. He hasn't lived up to being the number six overall pick. So Maurice Claiborne,
which
out
is very
of
true,
LSU.
But no, to build
he's
up
right,
his confidence,
right.
You don't say that. You got to love on him and build him up because you need him.
You do need him. And I think that the combination of Cooks and Jimmy Graham and then your boy Kyrie Robinson, it might be a blessing in disguise that Mark Ingram, you know, got hurt, because I think that this kid Kyrie Robinson is going to turn out to be a special little playmaker, you know, a la Eric Metcalf meets Darren Sproles, kind of that little guy.
He's got potential. Hey, where is Michael Sam? Is he going to crack the field or get activated for the Cowboys ever or what?
I don't know. That's a good question. I got to call some sources down there in Valley Ranch and see what's going on. I think that the Cowboys can use all the help they can on defense. I mean, I think this game ultimately is going to be a shootout. So I think that the Saints will put up 34 and the Cowboys will probably put up 30. So it'll be a shootout.
Fantasy play for people. Hey, talking about fantasy, does Jason Witten wake up? Is he still worth playing as a tight end if you're in a 10 or 12 team league? Jason Witten?
Heavy hitting Jason Witten.
Obviously, this week with all the bye weeks, you got to play him, but I mean, he hasn't really stepped up.
Unless you're in a PPR league, there's better options out there. I got to think Jason Witten's time as an elite tight end in fantasy or in real football is over.
Yeah, no, that might be true. I got to tell you, DeMarco Murray is a fantasy stud. That's my guy for the game.
He
got to
stop fumbling, though.
He does.
He's got to
stop fumbling. Because
in fantasy, you only lose a point. But
right,
in real football,
so it doesn't kill you.
You lose a possession. That's a big deal.
But I got another question, and a lot of fantasy fans want to know this. Where in the heck is Marcus Colston? What's been happening? Has he been hijacked?
I don't know. I saw him catch a touchdown last week, but he didn't do – I mean, for a guy who's played with the same quarterback for, what, 7 or 8 years now.
I mean, he
and
used to be 6-7 receptions a week without
he
question.
He used to be, and you figure Jimmy Graham's taking some of that love, but with all due respect to, you know, Kenny Stills and the rotating Brandon Cooks and the rotating bunch of receivers – he should be the man on that offense still. He's like, wait a minute, I'm still 6'4", and I still
I'm
have
grown.
The best. I'm a grown man. I'm 40. No, he's not 40, but, you know, he's probably, what, 33, 34? And, he needs to say, wait a minute, I have the best rapport with my quarterback potentially of anybody in the NFL. I mean, to have an elite quarterback like that and to be with him for 7-8 consecutive years, Marcus Colston needs to be doing better than he is.
So I got a question, NFL overseas. Who wins this game? Can the Raiders get their first win and upset the Dolphins?
Possible. It is possible. And this is being played in Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what kind of home field advantage, but maybe the Raiders,
what's up
because
with,
they traveled
what's up with
farther.
Philbin? Not naming Tannehill as a starter and realized and finally admitted that it was sort of wrong and they hashed it out. I don't like him as a head coach. I don't know how our buddy Hank feels, but I don't think Philbin, I think he sort of doesn't lead the ship the right way. That's weird. for a head coach to sort of leave your quarterback in limbo.
Especially because it's not like you have Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, or Blake Bortles.
Yeah, you got Matt Moore. You got Matt Moore.
I know. And you know what Matt Moore is. Matt Moore's a very solid quarterback, right? I think he can actually be a very, very good backup, and I wouldn't have any problem playing him. But I still think Ryan Tannehill is your future. So if you don't think so, that's okay. But to play it like you did, I don't like that. I don't like what he did.
Glennon might start. McCown's a game-time decision. Do my Steelers blow out Tampa Bay?
Yes.
I agree with that.
Can
Mario Williams go back to the Houston Texans, get a couple of sacks, and the Buffalo Bills win on the road in the AFC?
I think they can. I think that team, and you have, they've been winning a little bit, and you haven't even seen Spiller and Freddie Jackson can do. I think once they establish that dual-headed monster, Sammy Watkins had a bad game in game 3, but I think he reverts back to his game 2 where he catches, 8 balls for 114, something like that. I think the Bills go down and take care of business.
The San Diego make Bortles horrible in his rookie debut and win by 20 or 21 points, or does Jacksonville go to San Diego and actually make it a close game led by Bortles and his young receivers?
I think they hang with them for a half, and then ultimately the cream rises to the top. But I don't know that San Diego blows them by 20. Maybe they win by 2 touchdowns, so they win, 30-16.
Okay, now this one, upset alert. I think Julio Jones and Roddy White will do good, no Harry Douglas. But could Teddy Bridgewater at home, can he lead the Vikings to an upset victory over the Atlanta Falcons, who might be feeling themselves a little bit too much this week?
Negative. I think that the Falcons score too much. So in order to beat the Falcons, I think you got to put up 25-30, and I'm not sure that the Vikings can do that, even at home.
That's a fair one. That's a good point. And last, before we get out of here, do the Tennessee Titans, without Jake Locker, have any shot at all? Led by Sean Green and Bishop Sankey, the running game is MIA. Can they beat the Colts any way, shape, form, or fashion?
No, that's a blowout waiting to happen. That's like 30-10. I think that Andrew Luck is about to be again a fantasy stud this week.
Yes,
they need to figure out that running game, though.
Well, no, it's figured out. Bradshaw is going to be housing Richardson's spot.
Yeah, no. Bradshaw gets hurt, though, so you can never really give it to Bradshaw 25 times, right? So you're going to need Richardson, and you're going to need some between-the-tackles running from Richardson and take 15 carries
Richardson's
away
playing
from
better.
Bradshaw.
Give him credit. He's playing better having Bradshaw with him.
Yes, so that's the perfect case of a two-back system working as well as it can. So both guys, I don't think either guy is your guy for 25 carries a game, but if you're between the two, they both have a different, they each have a different skill set, so I think that works for the Colts.
All right. Well, listen, should be fun. A lot of fantasy stuff for people to look for. Obviously, baseball ends Sunday. We'll see if some people think McCutcheon's MVP. Some people say Kershaw. We'll talk about the postseason. Preview the MLB postseason on Monday. Recap NFL Week 4 and the college football games. Should be a great sports weekend. Europe is winning in the Ryder Cup. See what happens between the U.S. and Europe and that. And another race in NASCAR, right?
Yeah, we got a lot going on this weekend. Remember the bye week, so most important for fantasy. 6 teams on bye. Get your bye week players out. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great sports weekend. Ray and Tay today. We
talking
are
sports friends. Yeah, man. Happy holidays to all those celebrating.
Shauna, right?
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Have a great show.
Do you remember back in September? remember all the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration. In September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September all the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration. In September, y'all. A celebration.
September's here and it's the end of the summer. Back to school or to work, for some it's a bummer. For others it's a new year and time to atone. Buy some new gear or a cell phone. Labor Day parade, what island is you from? I got my own float and I feel like number one. It's just raining, cats are just straining. But after the parade, you know we're maintaining. All the good times are here. It's September, y'all, and it's the new year. Party over here and party over there. All these shorties and the drinks in the air.
Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration. In September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September.